Wake up the heart, wake up the dream. There's more to the story than what we have seen. Faith in the fire, hope in the fight. Families rising,
stepping into the light. Raising expectations,
lift your eyes, lift your voice.
Raising expectations,
faith and freedom still have a choice. Here's Pastor Joe and Melba Schofield with wisdom clear and strong. With Stephanie Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer helping move the hope along. Dr. Paul Hall and Ron Greer,
standing for truth and grace.
This is your life in America today, with courage in this place. To better, best together.
Raising expectations,
faith that carries on forever.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this edition of Raising Expectation. It's hard to believe we're rolling through August and summer is here, until you step outside here and all of a sudden we realize we're in the triple digits. So that's been kind of exciting. If you're related to a Gila monster. But anyway, it's pretty warm out there as we go through the day. We're glad you're with us tonight. We pray you've had a great day. And we're going to be praying later you have a great week through the rest of the way. We're excited about our show tonight. Many of you have read the things that have gone out there. I've got words back from you on those things. I'm glad that you're excited to be with us also. So tonight we're going to begin, and I know that you know this already, and I received word to you. Love the new song that we've been using. I want to thank BBS Radio and their incredible group there that put that song together for us off the words that we use. They took the words and turned it into that music. We're so grateful for that. It's a great song. We listen to it sometimes just to get encouraged. But you know, we're all believers. We're all blood-bought believers. We believe Jesus Christ, as you know, is the Son of God. And he died on the cross. That's why he came to this world, to pay the price for our sins, something we could never do because you can't see a holy God with sin in your life. He paid the price, and he's gone to heaven. The Bible story is so clear on that, where he is. And he's coming again someday for each of us who belong to him. So, as we often say, we get the greatest of both worlds. We get to know he's working in our lives. The Bible says he has a plan for our lives. And when we have a tough time getting going, he gets us going, to paraphrase another great word of Dr. Schuller, whose daughter is going to be with us in a few minutes. He picks us up and gets us rolling when we place our faith in him. So we're excited about how he does that. We hope that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, not when there's a group of people all around looking at you, but all alone in the quietness of your own home, the quietness of your heart. You call him out, he'll be listening. And he'll be ready to be there with you. So we look forward to being with you every Monday. You know our team on the West Coast. We have Dr. Paul Hall. He's there in Lompoc, California, right off the coast there. And are you having a heat wave, Paul?
No, I don't think so. We're in our 70s, so feels good.
That last time you had a heat wave at 68. That's why I thought maybe
I think that was it. Yeah, yeah, we all had him. Mm-hmm.
That was a tough one. Okay, on the coast. All right. So if we all join together and come from there, Paul is a retired pastor. He's a great guy. He's worked with people all over. He's a writer. He's a counselor, a speaker. And he's done so many things. It's just a great blessing to know him as a brother in Christ. He's here with us every week, and you can contact him. You can get to know the people, as most of you already do, by going on our website. That's bbsradio.com/ Raising Expectations. And you'll be able to see last week's show there. We see our guy from last week as he was with us. Frank did a great job. And you can scroll down and hear about the program, get to know a little bit of what we're doing, and also read about the guys. There's the programs from the past that we've done. You can click on and follow any one of our programs, either as a podcast on your phone, going down the road on your radio, I mean, or you can bring it up on your computers, or you can put it on your television. If you go to YouTube, you find us on there all the time now. So we invite you to tune in the show. Also, you'll see them right there. These are the really great folks that are a part of our team for Raising Expectations. And read about them. Pray for them. I know they're going to be praying for you. If you've got a thought on your mind, give them. give them a note, text them back, let them know that you're praying for them. Also, you'll find our books. Our books are here. My book is on there, Legitimate Faith That Produces Authentic Hope. Well, what's authentic hope? Well, you have to read and find out. There's 10 or 12 chapters there that will take you into God's word and also into my own life, what God did in taking me from one situation to a whole new call of God on my life. So I hope you'll check that out. That's Legitimate Faith. And right next to mine is Saved. And you'll find that that's the story of Dr. Craig Thayer. You're going to meet them in just a moment, about a surgeon who found God working in the ordinary things of life and what God did in blessing his life. He and his wife are two of the most wonderful people you're ever going to meet, and they're going to come to you in just a moment. So that's the website. You'll have to check the website and just make it your second home. Drop a line in there, drop a note in there, let us hear from you. And so we're going to go back, and you're going to meet the Thayers now. They're all the way in in Georgia, and you're going to meet them on the south side of the East Coast. And they're in Dalton, Georgia right there. And they'll be coming to you from a long ways away. Stephanie is, she's a great godly woman. She's a mother. She's, and their two boys are, oh, they're into so many different things. They've got us rooting for two new college teams now. They're in the East. To go with my USC Trojans that we rooted for here. But anyway, a little bit. Come on, Steph. But anyway.
There's actually two USCs. University of South Carolina.
South Carolina Gamecocks,
USC,
right?
You're USC. Yeah.
Southern California.
Yeah. Well, we can still go for those. That's good. Those are good guys. Yeah. But they're right there in Dalton, Georgia. Stephanie is a health coach. She's help ladies. She's a kind of a counselor helping ladies in special ways in God's word. And you check out the website. She's on there. And her husband on her left there, Dr. Craig Thayer, he's been a wonderful work as she worked in his life to turn him into the great man that he is. And he did a lot there to turn him into. There you go. Craig is a wonderful, wonderful brother in Christ. He's a surgeon, a trauma surgeon. He's a doctor in so many different ways because he doctors not just from the mind that he has and the knowledge he's acquired, but from the heart that God gave him. And that heart that God gave him always sees the need in people's lives, just like Steph does, and reaches out to those people. So they've done mission work together. They've been to Africa, the Caribbean, places like this, helping people. And it's always exciting to hear their stories and what they're doing. We're going to have to bring you guys on again for another story about what God's been doing in your life that way and helping people. It's always a blessing, always a blessing. So they're there in South Carolina and, South Carolina, good. Actually in Georgia, Dalton, Georgia, just north of them, South Carolina. And they come back, Ron won't be with us tonight, but he's there in McKinney, Texas. So, hello, Ron. We'll see you next time. So, you'll catch him next week. You see him on the website right there and read about what God's doing in Ron's life. And he's another great brother in the Lord. You'll really enjoy meeting him. So, now, let's go ahead and introduce you in one moment as soon as I share the greatest gift that God gave me on this panel right here is my wife, Melba. And she's right here. In fact, this thing keeps moving. There, that's better. Old page looks better now. So I went to Texas and got her. You all know that. So anyway, Melba is, she's done so many things in her walk. She got her degrees from, we went to the same university there at Hardin-Simmons, and she went to Southwestern Theological Seminary for her master's. And she's a counselor for women and for children, for setting up conferences and helping people in churches, local churches, and more than that in their lives and what they're doing in their lives as they seek God's guidance each day. She's done a great job. You're doing great, babe.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You got it. Okay. So it's always a thrill to have her with us. So she likes our guests too. We've just been talking about Sheila. We have Sheila Schuler Coleman, as you know, all of you have been sharing. She's such a blessing. And tell us a little bit about her. Would you share that with us?
Yeah, she has God's call on her heart and in her life to share deep, thought-provoking truths from God's word, just like her wonderful father, Dr. Robert Schuler, did each week from the pulpit of the Crystal Cathedral. And there you see her with him in Southern California. She worked closely with him and loves people as he always did. We are blessed by her heart, her thoughts, and life-changing insights from God's word. So here we are. Sheila, it's good to have you with us tonight.
We are really glad. Should we tell them what her question was? Because we've been thinking about it during the week. We sent it out to the team. I'm sure you've been thinking about it. She's going to bring us a question tonight and just kind of launch us as we get sharing from her life and a lot of things God's doing. Think about this, and I know a lot of you have read this. If little faith can move mountains, we've all heard that, what can limitless faith do? What can limitless faith do? Wow, that's a great thought, isn't it? So we want to give the round of applause and welcome Sheila in. Sheila, it's great to have you with us again, and good to have you as part of the family.
Well, thank you so very, very much. You know, I think the teaser or the question we're talking about tonight goes right in line with your whole Raising Expectations. And I loved your theme song. It just filled me with all kinds of joy, and it raised me up. It raised me up, your Raising Expectations, the whole idea. Because we are living in days where we are seeing all around us mountains, right? Yes. We have mountains, we face mountains, we face so many different mountains, and yet we have a God who, mountains are nothing, nothing, nothing for our God. And I just, and you know, just Jesus said, if you have just a seed, a tiny mustard seed of faith, you can say to this mountain, move, and it will move from here to there, right?
Amen.
But then the Lord said to me, he said, Sheila, if little faith can move mountains, this question came from God to me, what can limitless faith do? And I'm still just in awe of that question. Just asking myself the question forces me to push and push against the limits that we tend to put on ourselves, yeah, on our problems, on our world, on what's happening all around us. And I'm so excited, because the more I see God, I look to God and not to my mountains, the more I say, there are no limits to God's power. There are no limits to God's deliverance. There are no limits to God's healing. The more I push myself, the more I see that how I begin to just catch a very minute glimpse of his power. And I see more and more and more of it. And the more and more and more of it that I have, the more and more faith I have. And as you have in your title of your book, Pastor Joe, when you have faith, the more faith you have, the more hope is instilled within us. I think that's such a powerful title for the book. I just think it's what God is doing through this whole ministry is needed. So very, 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 very needed. I just want to dovetail on the last time I was with you guys. I spoke on the power, never doubt the power of a positive word. You guys, by any chance, remember that? You've probably listened, yes, to so many since then. But, you know, the Lord is having me train up all these different prayer teams to pray for their cities. And so we've been doing that. We've been very strategic about it. And we put together Holy Spirit-inspired strategic maps of our city and going around in teams, and we're praying over them. And because we feel like as we're doing this, the Lord has said, we're taking back territory for the King of Kings. And so a lot of it begins with repentance, which comes from the Second Chronicles. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and repent, you know, I will heal their land. And so we begin our prayer walks with repentance. And I've been training up, I've got an army now, different teams in Orange County, California, specifically. And my church is located in the city of Orange. And we've done several of these there. And this goes right in line with never doubt the power of a positive word. And because as we're praying and declaring and decreeing God's deliverance over our cities, and specifically the city of Orange in this case, we saw just recently that our huge, huge hospital for children has now said they are ceasing doing transgender medical services.
Amen.
Isn't that a huge praise? Amen. I didn't even realize they were doing that. And not only that, the Catholic hospital that's right next door to it, they said, we no longer promote or support abortions.
Oh,
and I can t and I knew they were doing that because my daughter-in-law, who got pregnant with triplets, the doctors, her OBGYNs at this Catholic hospital were pushing her to decide which of the babies to keep and which ones to terminate. But so here we are, two of our big hospitals in the city of Orange, who have said, we're no longer doing transgender medical services and we're no longer promoting and supporting abortions. So hallelujah. So yay. I just wanted to let everybody know, I just thought I got to begin by giving the good news. So because that will raise our expectations, that will be fuel for our faith as we dive into mountains and limitless faith. So I just wanted to share that to begin.
That's such a praise.
Amen.
Oh, it is.
It's really good news. It's very sad and sneaky and horrifying how the LGBTQ community has gotten so much momentum, especially around children. It's one thing if an adult wants to make a wild choice. It's another for sweet kiddos, right?
Amen.
It's just really encouraging. I had no idea. So I'm glad that you shared that because I didn't know that actually had occurred.
Yeah, I've been sharing it with my friends and my prayer partners around Orange County, and they've gone, this should be headline news. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to do it right here. I'm going to put it out here on Raising Expectations, you know, that this is headline news. Look what God can do. Look what God can do. And it was through prayer. It was through prayer.
There's an interesting case that's going to be heard, and I'm not sure when, but the story is either husband and wife or boyfriend, girlfriend, she gets pregnant. He doesn't want the baby. He gives her, unknown to her, the over-the-counter, now available to everybody, abortion pills. And she aborts. She's, or the state, I'm not sure, is suing him for murder.
Oh, my.
So the question is, because we always like, is that, you know, the whole argument of
when does life start,
all that stuff. It's like, okay, this is going to be defined probably by the Supreme Court at some point.
And if it's defined, then that also.
So interestingly, in trauma, you shoot a pregnant woman and she dies and the baby dies. It's a double homicide.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I've heard
that. From our law, it already says that's a living human.
Mm-hmm. Right.
My analogy about all that is the cake. You have a bowl, you have the ingredients, they get mixed. I'll tell you, I won't give the anatomy, but then that forms something you put into a pan, which would be the womb, and then the oven, which is part of the womb, and you turn it on and it goes. It cooks your cake, right? So if you turn off the oven or somehow pull the cake out, you've killed the cake.
But you don't have the original ingredients.
But you, what? How's that not analogous to life in the womb?
Yeah, right.
So, and it's a hard subject because I know there's a lot of ladies that have made that decision, and they're everybody I've ever talked to that has regretted it. It's hard. So you don't want to, like, we're not here to judge.
Right. Correct.
Jesus in the courtyard with the prostitute. We're not here to, even him as a God and a human is not here to judge when he was on earth.
You know, the Lord asked me to write this book, which I've talked about before, The Heart of a Warrior, Delivering the Children of the World for Christ. And when they told me to write the book, I said, what's going on with the children of the world? That was 4 years ago. And two of the first things he said to me was, he said, the two places that where children should be, vulnerable children, should be safe and protected are schools and wombs. And now both of those places have become places of destruction.
Right.
And so, you know, but as a result, you know, now fast forward 4 years later, the Lord has divinely connected me with all these amazing, wonderful, beautiful ministries that are being an answer to the prayers that we've been praying for the children. We partner with 20 ministries, my little remnant church. And we partner with three that are specifically dealing with, as they call themselves, missionaries to the unborn. But they also consider themselves missionaries to the moms. And in our prayer book, because in the book, The Heart of a Warrior, it talks about we provide a prayer guide, and we wrote prayers for the unborn. We wrote prayers for the mothers of grace and mercy for those who'd already, you know, who made the mistake and are regretting it, because that's so important for them, because we need to rescue not just the babies, but the moms as well. And that's been part of I've learned that through the ministries we partner with, as well as praying for the moms who desperately want to have a baby and can't conceive, the Hannahs, you know? And so that's always been a part of our heart and our ministry. So, but I just wanted to, I'm excited because when I think of, you know, if little faith can move mountains, what can limitless faith do? And this to me this whole praise report is an example of what happens. That it fuels our faith so that our faith will rise, become more and more, less and less limited, and more and more limitless faith. And so I think the Lord has been leading me today, because I've been praying a lot today about this, what to say tonight, how to lead the conversation a little bit. And, you know, we have the one verse from Jesus where he said, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you can speak to your mountain, right? But there's also another verse in Zechariah, where in Zechariah chapter 4, it says, this part everybody's familiar with, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. And it is followed right after that. So I will take the mountain. I will take your mountain and I will make it plain. I will make it, I will level it. But all you need to do is shout or speak or say grace to that mountain. So that's another whole verse that speaks about mountain moving, mountain leveling faith. And I had forgotten that verse, but I'm familiar with it. And the Lord brought it to mind today. And he said, look into that. And I said to him, I said, Lord, grace, what do you mean by grace? How do you speak grace to a mountain? And he gave me this definition for grace, which I want to share with your audience and with you guys. And let's just talk about this, because I think it's so important. He said, grace is undeserved divine deliverance. So whatever mountain we're facing, God can level it. God can move. He can remove it. He can bring it to something beautiful. As my father had this possibility, Thinker's Creed, when faced with a mountain, I will not quit. I will keep on striving until I find a way through, tunnel underneath, or simply stay and turn it into a gold mine with God's help. But so he was known for mountain moving faith. And so with mountains, you know, when we have a mountain in our life, we can speak to that mountain and we can speak grace to the mountain. God's undeserved divine deliverance. And I just think I thought, because when you're faced with a mountain, you need limitless faith a lot of times, because that's when you look at a mountain, it's like, how am I going to deal with this mountain? How am I going to conquer it? How am I going to overcome it? Because that's really the whole definition of the analogy of a mountain in scripture is a challenge that you cannot take on alone.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, and isn't that the enemy's plan, right? Look at this mountain. You can't get over it. You did XYZ. You got yourself here. Forget about it. You're stuck. And I've heard grace called unmerited favor. So similar when you said divine deliverance.
Ephesians is a gift of grace.
Right.
But by grace.
And I think, you know, using your abortion conversation, I've had some people I've interviewed, some very candid conversations, and a lot of times we hear the Christian community come out against abortion, which, by the way, I am also against abortion. But I think there's a large piece that's often missed, which is what happens after, and what is that recovery? What is the restoration, right? You need to repent, reject it, you're restored. Same for the LGBTQ community, right? Mm-hmm. Like you thought you were confused, you did all these things. Is that still a mountain in front of you? Or is there an opportunity, right, with the Lord to have freedom there? And the answer is always yes. And so, and insert a small, what society would call a small sin. A sin is a sin. Right. So they're actually not like we like to make them in society. Yeah. Oh, gosh, I'm a liar. I'm a gossip, whatever. The Lord still says, I can take that mountain from you. Right. That's but you've got to put it down. You've got to trust me. You've got to heal from that thing. And I don't know why we resist it so much. I think in our mind, we make it so much bigger. I think that's part of the enemy's trick. Right. Is to mm-hmm. keep it yeah. stuck. And the second you give a voice to the thing, the lie, the sin you did, all of a sudden, it doesn't have the same power. Like, did that mountain just, like, was it just topped off a little? You know, are we starting to get there? And so I think it's so important. This is what I love about, I call it living room church or small group or meeting at a coffee shop, having people in your life that will hold you accountable but love you and return you back to the word, right? There's always a place.
Amen.
Our church, but we need that like smaller space where we can really lay our burdens down, but also be reminded of the truth from the Lord, because he doesn't want us stuck in our mistakes. And every single one of us have had mistakes.
That's it.
Amen. I agree totally, Stephanie. And you know, the thing that just really jumped out at me with the first time I heard somebody speak on this from Zechariah, speak grace to the mountain. And today I was thinking about it because it's so counterintuitive. I always want to take dynamite to the mountain, you know, and blow it to smithereens. And, but this one, so grace is so different. And, yeah. and I think that it for a lot of times, the mountains in our life are self-induced as well as enemy-induced. Yes, he whispers. Yes, he lies. But then we buy into the lie, and it begins to grow in us, and it can get bigger and bigger. And that's where I think that I love this verse, because we need to not only speak grace to the mountain, but a lot of times we need to speak grace to ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think as much as it is that other people judge and they should, and you know, the Bible talks a lot about not judging and not, and we have Christ's example with a woman who was caught in adultery, right? I mean, who are we? Who are we to judge God's beloved children? They're all, every single child is his beloved child.
Amen.
And he alone judges, and that's based on God's scripture too. But if we as a church, as we as fellow Christians, can speak grace to people, as we can say, no, the Lord loves you. The Lord forgives you. The Lord has erased that with his grace. He's erased it and replaced it with his mercy and his grace. And Amen. I just think it's so important that we, that's why I thought this is a whole new conversation than when you're speaking grace to a mountain. And not doing like Sheila and going out and buying sticks of dynamite.
Exactly.
What a approach.
What do you think, Paul?
You know what? I'd like to speak to that point a little bit. And then, Sheila, I have a question for you. I found this delightful guy on some of my search. His name is Roy Goebel, and he has a website or a podcast called Junkyard Wisdom. His dad operated a junkyard when he was growing up. But he makes this statement, and I'd like for you to speak to it if you would. He said, the world has a way of labeling us by our worst days, failure, divorce, addiction, prison, bankruptcy, regret. But God simply refuses to believe that brokenness gets the final word. You know, so could you speak to that just a little bit? You know, it prompted by a question of what Stephanie said, what happens after the abortion? You know, they say, well, we've done our job now, but it's just begun. You know, so could you speak to that and how maybe your church addresses that?
Well, you know, honestly, this is a new question for me. So I'm just going to kind of process it out and as the Holy Spirit leads. But I think it's an ongoing everyday process. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a one and done. Right. I mean, there's not a single one of us, no matter who we are, no matter how well we know the Lord. I mean, I've known him since I was four. I've had an intimate relationship with him since I was four. And yet my daily walk with him is one of thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every day.
Amen. That's right.
Every day. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Mm. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. And you know, he'll remind me of things that I've said that I shouldn't have said, but I have. We all do. We all say things every day. We're constantly in need of his mercy. We're constantly in need of his grace. And the cool thing about it is when it comes with that little phrase that he gave me today on grace is undeserved. Undeserved divine deliverance. I love the word deliverance because not only is it deliverance from, but it's deliverance to you. You're delivered from the guilt. You're delivered from the shame, but also his mercy and his joy and is the new life that is constantly he's rejuvenating us every single day, giving us that new life again and again and again and again. And it's delivered. So we're not, so, you know, people tend to think of deliverance as something, you know, like from somebody who's possessed or something like that. No. This is all just like you can be delivered from fear. You can be delivered from anxiety. Right. You can be delivered from shame. And but there's also, I love the fact that a lot of, as everybody can relate to Amazon these days, and how many of us get our little notifications, something that you've ordered is going to be delivered, or you're going to notice it was delivered today. There's a picture of the package. I've got one right now waiting for me to go open the door and pick up. I love it. Delivery. Yay, it's here, right? So that word deliverance has so much beauty to it, I think, and that grace is delivered whenever, wherever, however. It's just a matter of saying, thank you, Lord, and crying out to him, thank you for loving me, thank you for being merciful, thank you for delivering me again and again and again. That's right. I don't know if that helps, Paul.
Yeah, which kind of brings me to the second point. I listened to you very carefully, and I hear you say things like the Lord spoke to me, the Lord told me this, the Lord, etc. Now, part of understanding that and having shared that journey along the way, I just heard you say that you've developed an intimate relationship with the Lord since you were four. Okay. Mm-hmm. So for those people who might be listening to us who struggle with, is God speaking to me? How do I know God's speaking to me? What if he's is this God telling me to do this? What does this mean? What are some of the markers that you use to discern the Lord's will? Okay. And I'm hoping this will be helpful to people who struggle with that question.
Such a good question. I'm thankful that you asked it. It to me, it begins by knowing his voice.
That's right.
You get to know him, as you get to know him through his word, as you read his word, it's kind of like when people, I've shared this before with your audience, that I was tasked with being dad's ghostwriter. And the reason why the publishers loved me was because nobody could tell that it was me who was writing the book, his books. It was his messages, and not mine. All I did was, but what I was able to do was capture Dad's voice.
Yes.
And the only reason I could do that was because as his daughter, right? As
Yeah.
his daughter, I could hear his voice in my ear all the time I did the writing for him. I was like, I could hear Dad, and I still can. I can still hear my dad's voice in my ear. And it's the same with our Abba. It's the same with our Father who is in heaven, our
Yes.
Heavenly Father. And Jesus Christ, the shepherd, they said it says in scripture, the sheep know his voice.
Right.
They know his voice.
No
And I
one.
think that's the very first beginning part. And I tell people, and I've written about this in the book, Unearthing the Lost Treasure, Wisdom. And I wrote that book for unbelieving Gen Zs and Gen Millennials. And it talks about hearing how to hear the voice of the Lord. And it says, you don't hear him with ears, you hear him with your heart.
Amen.
And then I always include, it's really important to make sure that everything aligns with God's word, with God's nature. And I always love a confirmation from somebody else. I always and frequently do. I receive a lot of it. But yeah, he does speak. We see that in scripture all the time. You know, Samuel's the primary example. And God is speaking. I think, and Dad used to say things like, oh, you believe, you just don't recognize that you have faith within you. You know, a lot of times it's just we don't recognize it. And I think God speaks a lot, but we just don't recognize that it's really truly him and his voice. But thank you, Paul, because I do say that a lot. That is a lot part of who I am. Because yeah, I hear from him a lot.
If I can ask one more follow-up question, how do you, what are the things that you do to build that intimate relationship with the Lord? You know, a simple answer to me, say, well, we pray and da, 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 that's a given. But what do you personally do to get your heart aligned with the Father, you know, when he's speaking to you? Are there things that you do? Do you take walks? What do you do?
Well, that's a good question too. In terms of doing, I take a prayer. I do a 30 to 45-minute prayer walk 4 mornings a week, and I go out and I just walk and pray. I listen to worship music in my as a lot of worship music. Always begin my morning with it, and I have a journal, and I journal every morning, and I journal every night. And I let the Lord, I learned to do this years ago. Somebody recommended it. And I have so many journals that I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I need another house to hold them. But every night I go to bed and I take my journal with me and I will write to the Lord. I'll go, and I always call him Abba because that's what Jesus did. And I will tell him how I did that day, what I did, how I felt I did. I'll ask him questions, and sometimes I won't even ask him questions. And then this one person told me, they said, just put the pen back in the hand of the Lord and let him write back to you. Don't try to self-edit, just write whatever comes to mind. Okay. So I've done that. And the more you do that, because I've done that, like I said, so I've lost pages and pages and pages and pages, books and books and books. It becomes like second nature. In fact, a lot of times I'll be drifting off to sleep at the end of the night, and I'll wake up and I'll add some more things, and I don't even remember what the Lord spoke, what he said when I wrote it the night before. And I'll wake up the next morning and I go, oh, what did he say? Because I was too tired. And I feel like that my conscious mind is so relaxed that I can't interfere with him being able to really deliver to me what he wants me to hear. And I'll read things the next morning and go, wow. So those are some of the practical things I do. There's a wonderful classic out called Practicing the Presence of God by mm-hmm. Brother Lawrence. I read that when I was in my 20s. So there's a lot of some of those things that I've read, and they become a part of me. They're just part of like me, like breathing, you know, it's just, and that's what I talk about, you know, like praying ceaselessly. And I've taught this to my church. I've done workshops on practicing the presence of the Lord, how to hear from him. But I say to them, you know, the thing is, when God is always here within us, he is always within us. If we are Christians and we have given our lives to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into each and every one of us, and he is there. And he's with you every breath, every heartbeat. He never stops being there with you. He never leaves you. He's everywhere with you, always at my side. And then he'll, you know, the trick is to try to remember that. And just for us people, his children, to be conscious and say, oh yeah, Dad, oh, Abba, oh, or Holy Spirit, you know, I need help, you know, can you help me with this? And then he goes, and then immediately, boom, you know, you find the help, and you feel his presence. And the more you practice it, I mean, even now as I'm speaking, I can feel Holy Ghost tingles and goosebumps all over me. You know, mm-hmm. he'll just begin to, there's physical manifestations that you feel. A lot of times there'll be tears. I tell mm-hmm. people, if you feel tears in your eyes when you're praying, oh, that's a good thing. That means Holy Spirit is touching your heart, you know, and go with it. Just lean into him. Just let him hold you. Just let him, you know, heart to heart with him. So.
Yeah. 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 Chills for me.
Amen.
Chills. You just know he's there.
Mm-hmm. You keep sharing wonderful stuff that all of us are all touched and all with you hearing it. You mentioned blowing up the mountain.
Dynamite.
Don't worry, Sam. Tank. I didn't blow anything up. But when I was a youth pastor years ago, same group I was with a couple weeks ago, because they were in the old church that had been downtown for years and years, and a very outstanding church, First Baptist, and they had to move. It was condemned. They had to move away. And so they found an old golf course that went under, a beautiful golf course. And it was like 137, 140 acres, something. And they decided God had called them to go there. Well, here was the situation. It was a mountain. It sat on a mountain. It was rounded at the top. The only level spots were greens, which is not enough for a church, I think. And so long story short, they began to pray. They got discouraged because they're being crunched on all sides. The devil's biggest tool when you're worrying about a mountain is time. Sometimes it's coming at you, say, oh, yeah, even God can't do this, you know. And all of a sudden, in the midst of all this, and Doc shared with me, very special mentor in my life, he said, you know what, Joe? He said, we just started praying and praying. We had vigils praying all together there. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I won't go into the details and all, they get a call, I think, from Chicago, Illinois. And they got a call from a place called Caterpillar. And Caterpillar called them and said, you know what? We hear you may need some help on a mountain. He said, we've just developed the largest earth mover that's ever been created. We need a place to experiment with it. And we'll come and do the whole mountain for you free if you'll let us. Yeah. And they leveled and cleared off the top of that entire mountain that looks out over the whole city and bay. And they did it. And out of nowhere, they had no idea how they could possibly do this. And it just reminded me, I always think back when someone says the mountain, that, but they had to do what you just said. They'd sit quietly. They sat there under the moonlight. I had that prayer vigils. The church people on their knees up there looking and just praying, God, what do you want to do? So he's always there.
Well, you know, that goes back to, I love the story, Joe. I love that story. I'm going to hold on to that one for a while, but because we're believing for something too, you know.
Amen.
And so, but it goes back, the verse that precedes this, you know, speak to the mountain, grace, speak grace to the mountain. But yes, that was precedes that is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. And that's where this whole limitless faith is so important, that the enemy wants to limit us. He wants us to see just very, very limited what we can do or what he, but because we, if, when we focus on ourselves, no, we can't do any, we are very, very, very limited. But the Lord's power, the Lord's power, the Lord's power is limitless. And so I'm going to say for Paul, the Lord said to me that one night when I was writing this book, oh, it was 4th of July. I was driving home on the freeway and fireworks were going off all around me. It was very, and that's, I love it because when those kinds of things happen, I can always remember when the Lord spoke something that just moved me, rocked my world. And this one rocked my world. And that was this, his question, Sheila, if limited faith can move mountains, what can limitless faith do? And I was like, wow. And so then he followed up with that a little while later. And he said, I want you to pray and ask and say, give me, meaning me, Sheila, give me the same faith in you, Lord, that you have in yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And every time I pray that, I go, oh, because I think about, when I think about how much faith God has in himself, wouldn't he, and it makes sense, right, that he would want us to have the same faith in him?
Amen.
Why not? That's who he is. And so I'm always said, the more I pray that, I know the more my faith is being stretched. And so, but I want to add to Paul's question, what I do also, I do every single morning. When I say every single, that means most, the vast majority of them. I'll say, Lord, good morning, Abba. Show me what to pray. Show me what to say. Show me what you want me to do for you today. And then I follow that up with, Holy Spirit, I ask you to purge all of Sheila out until there's nothing left but you. And then there's other things that I will pray. And I vary my days with praying the Lord's Prayer to praying Psalm 91 to praying Psalm 24. There's different prayers, some passages that he's had me. And of course, the armor of God. But those are the ones that he has me pray most often as follow-up. And I've memorized them. So that's been a huge, beautiful thing that the Lord has asked me to do. And when you're 75, the brain doesn't memorize like it used to. I'm looking at the doctor. I've been told that our brains actually shrink with age. And I know that in my doctorate in education, there was a subtopic called andragogy, which is the study of how seniors learn, which is way different than pedagogy, which is how children learn. And so it was not easy to memorize scripture, but the process helped me really hide God's word in my heart. Mm-hmm. And it's just there. And it's such a wonderful treasure.
Yeah, it is. Man. I mean, I think of the verse, God will not give you more than you can handle. I'm strictly left off that is with God. Because when you're yourself, there are going to be a limit, as you said. So limitless is when you handle self with God. It's yourself out of the equation, and it's infinite. Yeah. The other example was the apostles were encountered. I forget what the person had to pray it out of them, and it didn't work. And then same apostles, Jesus encountered the same individual, and Jesus like effortlessly fixed whatever the problem was. And they asked, how were you able to do that? And he said, you didn't have enough faith. So they believe, but they have doubts, right? And we all do, so at points. So it's like, but that's where they were. So even the apostles did not have limitless faith and limitless abilities.
Yeah, and thank you, because I want to speak to that as well. You know, my father, he was fearless. He always had fearless faith, and he never put limits on anything. I mean, I can testify it to. I mean, just the fact that he built a crystal cathedral out of glass on an earthquake zone, you know, and had to raise all these millions of dollars. And that's just one thing. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on about my father. He was fearless. He was fearless. And not me. I always was this scaredy cat little girl who was like, I want to hide behind my dad, hide behind his robe. Okay, you know, I'm here. But dad's the one, you know, who's got the faith. And so, but God has just, so I want to speak to that, because so many people are like, feel like me. They feel like they do, like the apostles, they don't feel like they have enough faith. But I think that what I've learned is that the Lord will dramatically increase your faith if you ask him for it. And it says, you have not because you ask not. And I've had to, and I've begun to ask it, because the Lord has told me, pray and ask me to have the same faith in myself, have the same faith in me as I have in myself. And as I prayed that prayer, I have now faith that I never, ever, ever had for years, for the vast majority of my life, for the first 71 years of my life. And it's just been the last 4 years that I feel like I have, that I'm beginning to be my dad's daughter in terms of faith. And so I just want to encourage people that it's that the gift of faith is there for all and any who need it and want it. And I want to encourage all of them to say, you know, because I'm sure as we've been talking tonight, there have been some who've said, oh man, I have this mountain in my life. I have this mountain in my life. And I have felt hopeless because it's there. I haven't seen any way how to get over it or around it, or and I don't have any dynamite. Yeah. and all I see is this great big huge obstacle. I've just, because as a pastor we deal with significant health diagnoses, you know, and as well as relationships. There's all these estranged relationships between grandparents and their grandchildren that's become epidemic. There's our world, you know, the different things that are going on in our world. And now affordability and things like that. There's just so many mountains. And yet God, he made mountains. So he can take care of your mountain. And I just really wanna speak to that and let, and give people a chance to think, yeah, I'd like my faith to grow, you know, and I'd like to have then my hope, right? Like Joe's book, then I'll be able to have hope that this mount, that I can find a way over this mountain. And in fact, in Zechariah, it says he'll make it flat, plain, completely gone. Just walk it gone. That mountain is gone. So
yesterday in the Bible study that we had in our little house church, I referenced two things. There were two times in the scripture, in the New Testament, that Jesus was stunned. He was amazed. Mm-hmm. Number one, he was amazed at the faith of the centurion.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, he was amazed at the unbelief of the people in mm-hmm. Mark, I believe Mark chapter 6, I think. And that amazement, which you, the statement you made, give me the same faith that you have in yourself. That's a pretty profound statement. You know, I mean, that really causes you to do some serious thought about faith and how it functions in our lives, you know, to increase our faith. I think it was Chuck Swindoll who was asked, if there was a verse of scripture that he would quote or think about it. And he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's a profound statement as well. You know, I hope, I have a personal hope that my heart never gets cynical, that I can't be surprised by what God does.
You Amen. Know,
it's just amazing. And to celebrate that, and people will think, you know, last thing I'll say, there's a poster of a man walking down on top of a railroad track rail, and he's got his hands out, and underneath that, the caption says he was thought to be quite crazy, for those who couldn't hear the music, you know, and to hear the music and to dance in our spirit, to mm-hmm. enjoy the presence of the Lord, to celebrate yes. what he's doing. That's almost a lost thing, that we need to recapture and to have our hearts captured. And I just, I celebrate that what you've shared tonight, Sheila, because I think those are the things that those are the practical nuts and bolts of moving and growing and building into me and believing, and seeing what God can do. It's amazing. Just, it's amazing.
You know, it's easy. That's so good, Paul. That is so good. It's amazing. If we're sick physically, no matter whether we're young or whether we're old, I mean, if I got a problem and it's really a problem, I'll call Tank. I'll get there and I'll say, Craig, what do you think about this? And you know, he has a way of explaining it. He's a gentle giant. He explains it to you, and you say, well, that makes sense. And all of a sudden, you're not worried about it. In the Christian life, that seems to have been so much more difficult for so many. Because, Sheila, like you're saying, or Paul, they don't hear the music. They want to. But we're trained all through our lives. We must get answers. Reason it out. Learn it out. Get the education that gives you the understanding and become someone that has all the answers. And you can't get those answers. And you're not listening to the man walking by the bus. You find yourself under the bus. And that's that part. So it's not a good place to be. And then all of a sudden, we get to what you were saying, Sheila. We realize we can have this absolute peace. It's not a promise. It's a fact. Without the answers, we don't have the answers yet, but if we'll walk with God and we'll say, Abba, Father, I'm listening, and go about the day watching him iron out all the little things. When the mountains come, we have to say, where did it go? So often. So that peace that comes, we don't need to wait so long in life for it. We can get it sooner by realizing who he is, whose we are, and where we're going. I really appreciate what you said tonight. Paul, appreciate that too. Steph, I just let's go on for let's take 5 or 10 more minutes and go on before we get anything else. Anybody want to share on that? I'm blessed by you all. Oh, go ahead.
Go, Baba.
Go, Baba.
Well, thank you. I'll say a little bit. The last staff meeting that I sat in before I came to California, we were talking about prayer and how God answers those prayers. And something inside me thought, why are we doubting? Why do we doubt that mm-hmm. God won't answer our prayer? Mm-hmm. I said, and another part of that is that when he does, do we recognize it as that prayer that we had prayed, that it has been answered?
Amen.
You know, and point that I have to make there is that my daughter and her husband moved to
Kentucky, and or they're in Indiana, and he was looking for a job. And of course, I prayed for him every day that God would provide something so that they would be comfortable. And so one day she calls me and says, "Mom, did you pray for us this morning?" I said, "Every day, sweetheart, every day." I said, "Why?" "Well, Brandon got his job." I said, "Well, that's great." I said, "Now tonight I want you and Brandon to pray to God and thank him
exactly
for that job." I said, "Because I did my part. Now you have to do your part and recognize that it wasn't luck and it wasn't the universe.
Right.
It was God." I said, "Because when I pray, I know that God's going to answer my prayer. Not today, maybe in 2 weeks, maybe in 8 years, you know, when he came along. But it's also something that I'm constantly praying, constantly. I know Joe is too. So it's something that I learned is not so much as a child, but as an adult. Because as I got married the first time, there are certain things that I could get pregnant, and all of a sudden we just said, forget it, we're not going to worry about it. And 3 months later, I got pregnant. So, you know, it's things that have happened in my life that I know that God is my rock, and he's the one that's in control of our lives, and he has a plan for everybody as long as we are obedient to those small steps. You know, what it takes to have that major thing in our life, either complete or eradicated or mountains moved. Or every time I drive around here, I'm not used to mountains. Living in Texas, you know, right in the middle of the plains area. And I'm always afraid we're going to go off or we're going to. It just scares me. But anyway, I close my eyes a lot. So, but God is good to those who are faithful to him. You know, and I think God is always faithful to us.
That's
so that's
right.
What I keep remembering.
Trust.
Trust.
Yeah. A lot of her priorities have changed, Tank. I want you to know that. We're not having any children, so I just want you to find that dog. So
that's good. So I don't have to deliver anything.
No.
Been there, done that. Yeah. I'm fine.
And a 13-pound baby one time.
Yeah. You were saying something.
Yeah. Moonlighting a 13-pound baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a medical student, was the last time I even saw one. God blessed me with the ability to. Yeah. We never do that, and
not do it again.
No, what I was going to say was, I mean, it looked like when we're so in the flesh, we're so in the moment in the world, we don't stop and take the time to look, right? You have to look and see. You won't see him if you're busy. And the same thing is true with, if I'm so busy and I don't stop to listen, I'm not going to hear him. Amen. So we find a quiet time. I think, Sheila, you walk, you do different things. Different people do different things. First thing in the morning, don't go to your cell phone. You know, get on your knees and just pray at bedside and listen and look. And hopefully, over time, if you silence your brain from what's going on in the world around you, you'll hear and see.
Ben.
Yeah, there's just something beautiful. There's a treasure. His presence is a treasure, and it's there all the time. It's there all the time. And the more you recognize it, the more you recognize it. You know, I think I see him all the time, everywhere. I'll see him in this, the way the sun is setting, you know, in my backyard, or, and not even, it'll just be light, just a light, or it'll be a bird that's flitting past me, or a butterfly. Or it'll be a grandchild who comes running up and gives me a hug. And I also see and hear it when I'm in the grocery store, and the people, I'll see people even in front of me in line, and the Holy Spirit will say, it will all of a sudden, I hear myself talking to them. And the next thing you know, I'm sharing with them about the Lord. And, you know, it's just so, it's just, there's this constant, constant sense of knowing that he's there, and I believe that was forged through trials, to be sure, but it was also forged from the age of four, because I remember vividly walking to school. We used to walk to kindergarten without anybody holding our hands, and right? And I remember, and some of you are going to laugh at this, I do. I remember seeing an oil slick in the road, and I saw a rainbow on it. And I'm 4 years old, and I begin to go, "Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder, I see him everywhere," you know? And that's just, and then, but I've also was very intentional in my early 20s about practicing his presence. I wanted that. I sought it. I was hungry for it. And so it's become, like I say, it's no, my heart, as much as my heart beats and my, as I, my lungs breathe, he's there and I sense him. I mean, that doesn't mean I'm always thinking about him, but it doesn't take much for him to get my attention.
Amen. That's right.
And when our attention's on, oh, sorry.
Oh, no, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, this whole faith, I just want to say this whole limitless faith, you can have limitless faith as long as you keep your eyes on our limitless God.
That's right. Amen. And then you don't worry. It takes away the worry and replace it with that assurance. That's why I love my life verse. It's still changed around at John 14:27. Peace I give you. Who's I? It's Jesus. Peace not like the world gives, give unto you, but my peace, which what? Passes your understanding. So don't be afraid, fear not. And when you think about those things, I can walk away from a problem with no answer and an absolute peace. And that's practicing his presence too, like you're saying. I think that's great because I know it's coming. And it's better than Amazon. It's cool. It's coming. It's just God's time. Man, when he hits his door buzzer, I hear it. So it's important. You know, see what he's saying. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so glad you watched Raising Expectations. You mean the world to us. We may not be able to put a face and a name with you, but we feel that you love the Lord too. We know you're there. And the comments that you send and the things you share, they're very special. The only thing that matters is sharing Jesus and what it means in the world. Every problem, every need is right there. And the ground's level at the foot of the cross, folks. Nobody's tagged. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a believer, and then follow him with everything you've got. We appreciate you so much. But Stephanie, if I can ask you, if you'd share a word, we could use your help financially on some things we're trying to do and to keep up. We've got some things coming. But Stephanie, share just a word, if you would, please. You do so well.
Pastor Joe, you were doing awesome. I loved it. Okay, so you got to know where to connect with us. Yes, we're on pretty much every social media platform. But the main place is at bbsradio.com/raisingexpectations. And guess what? If you do / it won't work. And so then you'll do / because I couldn't figure out which way to do it. So you're going to be okay. And then when you get there, you will see that we have usually like there, it's highlighting our prior show. You can start to scroll down. There are ways to donate to us. We love snail mail. We take money in all forms, actually. So you could do it in a high tech way. And just remember that we're not actually here to make money. We're here to be able to get the word out. We want to share what the Lord is doing. And it takes money for production and to be on the air and all of that. So that's the snail mail way. Contact Joe for that. And then as you continue on there, you can hear our prior shows. You can learn about each one of us, how to connect individually with us. We do love to hear from you. Pastor Joe shared that. It's really helpful to us and encouraging. So please don't stop doing that. And then if you keep going, you'll see Pastor Joe's book. You'll see my husband's book. And we just love to connect with you. So if you can donate, we always appreciate that. If you can't, share the show. Sharing the show goes a long way, and that's also really helpful to us. And it's helpful to the Lord's kingdom, which is really why we're all here. So thanks for hanging out with us and for being good stewards with us.
Thank you so much, Steph. Appreciate you. Thanks, guys. And so remember, great is his faithfulness to each one of us in everything we face in life. Sheila, you're really a blessing. We appreciate you. You're an extension of the wonderful work your father did in blessing so many lives. So We just want to thank you. It means a lot. And you may not know it yet, but we just count you part of our Raising Expectations family. So we'll just tell your husband thank you for us and for everybody. It's just a pleasure to share and to hear the Lord speak to all of us through you. And of course, this team, they're magnificent people. Just love all of you so much, as everybody does. And so we're going to, Sheila, if you have one wrap-up word you'd like to share, go ahead and take just a wrap-up for us if you'd like. And then, Paul, brother, would you say a prayer as we close out? And by the way, on the website, like Paul, we were saying today, if you go on there, right when she opened it up, like she shared with you, two of our songs are on there about raising expectations. We'd love you to get the full version. Just tap on them. You can do anything you want with them. It's all yours, whatever you'd like to do, if you want to share that. And then we'll turn to Paul. Sheila, thank you, ma'am.
Well, the words that I'm hearing is, there is nothing impossible for the Lord.
Amen.
He can do anything and everything. Doesn't matter what you're facing, he can help you with it. He will help you with it. He's just a heartbeat, just a prayer away.
Amen. All right. Paul, would you pray for Sheila and everybody, the listeners?
Happy to. Father, you are so gracious, and we love you, and it's a joy to love you. It's a joy to open our hearts and to sense your presence, to open our eyes, to see your presence, to open our spirits, to receive what you have in store for us. Lord, as we read your word, we're reminded we do believe, help our unbelief. In those moments when we falter and we seem to totter, your word keeps us on our feet, and I thank you for that. And I thank you for Sheila. Thank you for the way that you've lived and moved in her and what she continues to do and the life she continues to touch. And I pray, Father, you continue to bless her efforts and those who hear her words and are involved in the ministries that she's involved in. Lord, everything is a matter of grace. It's all from you, and we acknowledge that. Just thank you for letting us be a part of that. And keep us mindful that we bear your name. And may we do that with great joy. May we not forget how to dance in our faith. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Have a blessed week. Walk with God all day. Wait till you see what he has in store for you. Love him and trust him. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sheila.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Love you all.
Love you back.
Before you leave the moment, before the day moves on, carry one bright promise. The hope is not gone. From Pastor Joe and Melba Schofield, and the voices gathered here, Stephanie Thayer and Dr. Craig.